We heal. We have made it. Another week, another dollar, maybe a couple dollars. Maybe you went through a breakup. Maybe you got a new relationship. Maybe you got fired. Maybe you got a new job. So much can happen in a week. So much can happen in a day. So much can happen in the next second. That was me dying. Just kidding. I'm here. Sharp Tongue Podcast in your ear. It's your girl, Jessie Mae Peluso, coming at ya hot. Sorry, that was probably painful for your ear. These can be sensitive microphones. I'm excited to be here, y'all. It's July 8th. I can't believe that it's July 8th. How the fuck? I know I sound like an old woman, but damn, time flies. It's already July, you know, and I'm still waking up in the middle of the night with panic attacks because my dad is dead. So if anyone can relate, hands up in the air, you're not alone. Thank you for coming back and listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I appreciate you guys. We're going to be reopening the Patreon page to give you exclusive content. I'm going to have all sorts of fun, exclusive stuff, videos, episodes. I'm even going to do a very special, per the request of my new assistant, Katie, who's been amazing in helping me out with my podcast, a new Patreon option where you can get some pictures of my feet. Because you know what? She made a good point. I've got beautiful feet. And there are some weirdos out there who want photos of feet, and it's my job to deliver them the goods. So I'm going to deliver the goods. You're going to get new content, exclusive episodes, and photos of my feet. And you guys aren't even going to be able to handle it. You're not going to be able to handle this Patreon page. It'll be up soon. My YouTube page is up. Thanks to Katie. That's youtube.com/Jessie Mae Peluso. I lost the name, but then I got it back. YouTube, I had to contact them and be like, yo, I need my name. Because I had the original name that I used signing up for YouTube like 37 years ago, which was, I can't even say it. It's so embarrassing. Live, Love, Laugh 82. Now that I say it out loud, I wish I would have kept it. Just so that you guys would have to type it in every time. Instead of looking for Jessie Mae, you'd have to type in Live, Laugh 82. And that is just hilarious to me that you'd do that. But I changed it. It's Jessie Mae Peluso. I have my name back, which is very exciting. So check out the YouTube page. We're putting up videos now for the Sharp Tongue Podcast, and those will be available. We'll have exclusive video content once the Patreon page is live, but the YouTube page has a bunch of fun stuff. I'll be putting up all sorts of fun videos. It'll just be like, you know, a little corner of my YouTube world, and you guys will be able to see a whole bunch of different videos, podcast stuff, and stuff for me on the road. Speaking of the road, before we get into this episode, I'm going to be at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. It's going to be so fucking fun. July 17th to the 28th. I'm there every night. I'll be doing a ton of shows. I'm going to be doing the Nasty Show with Andrew Schultz and Bonnie McFarlane, and a whole bunch of other comedians are on that show with us. Bobby Lee. Very excited to be a part of that. Also, I'm going to be doing Sharp Tongue Podcast from the festival. I will be doing Weeds Day from the festival. Weed is legal in California and in Montreal, Canada, So that'll be fun. I am going to be at the Omaha Funny Bone August 8th, 9th, and 10th. Listen to my voice. It's like so exhausted. And I'm excited that Topgolf has bought a season 2 of my Topgolf show, Game Changer, which is available on YouTube and Topgolf's Facebook page. It feels weird to say that, but I guess that's how we're consuming content now. It's not so much a TV-centric world. It's you can find it on YouTube world and Facebook and even Instagram. So I'm excited. Go to Topgolf on their Facebook page. The show is called Game Changer. I am the host, and people win a fuckload of money. So that is exciting. Season 1 is, we're in the middle of it now, and we're shooting season 2 in August. I'm also going to be in Pennsylvania doing a bunch of shows throughout September. I'm going to be in Arizona Syracuse, North Carolina, South Carolina, Wichita, Kansas, Minnesota. Absolutely don't know all the states in the country. You know that song, whatever that is. That Johnny Cash, I've been everywhere, man. When he rattles off all of those cities and states, I would have a coronary trying to do that now. JessieMae.com for tickets. Check them out. And as always, if you guys can, please, if you listen to this podcast and you love it, leave me a review. I read some of your reviews and they're really dope. I feel like you guys are amazing fans. All the new fans that I get every week, thank you so much. I feel very fortunate. I had an opportunity to read some of the reviews and I'm pretty lucky. I have a pretty positive feedback from you people. I'll just read this one right here from Melly Mel 84. Hilarious, entertaining, and a little bit of touching insight. Just started listening after seeing her live in Albany and I'm addicted. Great podcast to binge to. I mean, you guys are, almost all of my reviews are 5 stars. Without sounding cheesy, it's really sweet. It makes me feel good, man. Here's another one. It says guaranteed laugh from ML Melenines. I'm just a dude, but I love this podcast. It's funny every time and I learn stuff. You sound like a dude, but that's really sweet, man. You guys are so dope. Filthy J. Heiner, best podcast ever. A little bit of gross noises, a lot of humor. She makes me smile every time. Made me cry last time. Love this woman. Oh, dude, this is funny. The title of this one says insightful yet vulgar humor. Well, it's probably good because I'm going to be at the Nasty Show at Just for Laughs. Great podcast. Jessie Mae is hilarious and keeps the conversation flowing. Her humor is funny because she relates to things almost like a man, but an old bard with a woman's perspective. I listened to 3 episodes so far and I enjoyed them all. You guys are dope. So please, if you have an opportunity, leave me a review. I will read some of my favorites. And also don't forget about the This Bitch segment. You guys get to send in your stories. Let me know about the bitches you're dealing with in your life, man. Let me know about these assholes. This Bitch is a new segment we're doing once in a while on the podcast where basically, like, you ever have a situation in your life where you're like, this bitch. It doesn't have to be a woman either. It can be a dude, your brother, your coworker, your boss, your ex-boyfriend, your current husband, your new girlfriend, your ex-wife, anybody in your life that just acted like a bitch and you need some advice on, send it my way. Email us at sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com or shoot it out to me on Twitter with hashtag this bitch and sharptonguepodcast and I'll help you solve it. I'll help you deal with the bitch in your life. I literally just want to help people deal with their bitches. So I'm here for you. I'm here for you. You let me know. This bitch. And segueing into this episode, it's not a bitch. It's a gentleman who I have known for years, a fellow comedian friend and somebody who I consider a pretty decent human being until I hear otherwise, until I see some, you know, bones in the backyard, which, hey, it's never too late to unearth some human remains. You know, people were shocked about Manson. People were shocked about Ted Bundy. They thought he was a good guy. So is this next person a serial killer or a stand-up comedian? He could be both. No, he's great. He's a lot of fun, and I was honored to do his podcast. This is a special swap cast from the very funny and talented and delightful Mr. Jeff Dye. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary, a deep look into the crevices of my mind.
It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You'll probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss,
comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Welcome back to week 56 of Jeff Dye's Friendship Podcast alongside Tony Revis, baby. This week, we welcome into the Fortress of Solid Dudes one of my favorite lady dudes, Jessie Mae Peluso. Love her so much. I first worked with her on Girl Code, and then I would see her all over, and we became pals the second that we hung out for the first time. Super cool chick, super funny, super fun to be around. She's very silly and playful and a happy person, which makes it fun to be around her. She also loves the drugs. So if you like drugs, well, this is the gal for you. Not all drugs, but, you know, probably most of them. I don't really know. So we talk about that. We talk about getting to know each other. And then we talk about women in comedy. It just kind of happened. I don't know how, you know, these conversations, you don't have anything planned. And then you just find yourself down a path and you start going there. That's the beauty of being a stand-up comedian. I hope you guys enjoy. Shout out to Lawrence Taylor. He was one number 56 in the NFL when me and Tony were just children. But he's the most famous 56, so you get it, LT. Shout out to you. We'd love to have you on the podcast sometime. What else? If you guys are just listening, thank you very much. Don't forget to subscribe and rate and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. If you'd like to watch the podcast, get a free... I'm sorry, if you want to watch the podcast, get full access to all of our little videos and goodies and exclusive content and free comedy club tickets to any live performance that I will be at, go to patreon.com/Jeff Dye and subscribe. It's $10 a month. You get unlimited stuff. Watch the pod, I think, is a little bit more enjoyable than listening to the podcast. We'll let you decide. Either way, we love all you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for making all of this possible. Enjoy the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Jeff Dye Friendship Podcast. Phones are off.
Off.
We're in the Fortress of Solid Dudes with one of my favorite women.
Fortress of Solid Dudes?
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Is it like solitude, but it's dudes?
Yeah.
Right. I like
we
the plan words.
Up, but you're not a dude.
I'm part dude.
You're the best. I look at a photo of you every morning. I have a framed picture of us together.
In the car?
No,
in San Francisco?
It's not from in the car. It's when we were interviewed by Nessa.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
In San Francisco, yeah.
And they took like a little portrait of us.
Yeah.
And I kept it for so long.
All
but then I found a perfect frame for it. So then it's framed.
That teeny little photo?
Yeah.
Wow. You found a little frame? That's cute. Girls love cute stuff like that.
At what's that store that has all those things? Like Urban Outfitters or something like that?
Yeah, little tchotchke stuff.
Yeah, all the little stuff. Yeah, there's like a
of
nice
course
little
they would
neon
have a frame. It's like a basic girl.
How big is it? It's like a 2x2 picture. Like what
it's
is
like
it?
A small.
It's like a miniature Polaroid.
Even modern day Polaroid.
Wow.
It's like something a Kardashian would have on her makeup table.
There you go. But we met in New York City because we were both on Girl Code.
Did we? Yes. I don't remember when we met.
You don't?
No, I don't remember the day.
Oh.
New York City.
Yeah.
Do you remember the day?
I don't remember the exact day.
Do you remember? You don't remember the second. Okay.
Well, but here's the problem with Girl Code is people always go, oh, Jeff. Oh, you did Girl Code. This is not now, but like back in the day, they would say, you do Girl Code. Do you know Carly.
Yeah.
And I say, nah, never met her
in
my life.
We didn't film together.
No, yeah, we would just walk
individual.
In, shoot on the green screen. You might pass someone like as they're getting makeup done as you're leaving, right. But very rarely. And if you don't know them, you're not going to be like, hey. So
yeah, it was a conveyor belt.
The only reason I got to know you is because you were doing stand-up and I would see you around, but also we started getting to do college dates together.
That's right.
And that's how I got to like actually get to hang out with you and know you.
I have
so
a framed
whenever
photo
people
of us.
Ask me about Girl Code, I say, well, I'm really friends with Tanisha and Jessie Mae.
We
mostly
did a
Jessie Mae
together.
And Tanisha only because we've done a few colleges.
Yeah.
And she's really nice. But like I felt like you were like a real comedian.
Yeah.
Because Tanisha sometimes, there was the first time she'd only done stand-up for like maybe 5 or 6 times. And
she's
booking
I don't think she's a stand-up.
Well, not that time. She was trying to.
Right.
But she was like getting heaps of money to do university. And then she'd be like, all right, I might get off stage a little early. She'd go out there for like She got off stage like after like 8 minutes. I'm like, that's all you got? I have to do what? I have to cover 90 minutes of this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might get off stage. Yeah, you should get off stage the second you step foot
we
on
should
it.
Just be doing a Q&A for you.
Yeah. Seriously?
And the college kids were so disappointed because they love Tanisha. She's way more popular on that show than I was.
Yeah.
So they're all like, yes, Tanisha Long. And then she's like, all right, goodbye. And now they're like, who's
this
guy?
What was that?
Yeah. And then I had to really win them over. Luckily, my stand-up would win them over, but they would be like, who was that guy? Like, it was the weirdest.
I saw you. The most recent time I've seen you was at the Lemon Haze Festival.
Yeah. Which I didn't know was a weed thing. I thought it was just like a stand-up comedy show. I got weed. Yeah, they gave me a ton of weed.
Remember, we were talking to the mayor,
the
woman mayor. That was really cool. She was a cool chick.
That's why they booked me for this. Not because the weed thing. Not because they thought I was some famous person. But because I'm born and raised in Kent, Washington.
Yep.
I've been doing stand up for 13 years. Never once performed in Kent, Washington. So they were like,
where would you though?
Yeah, where would you? Like in a tent. Yeah.
Well, and that's what the guys afterwards. There was a
My
couple of these
house?
Like great guys, and they kept saying, like, you know how many tickets you sold? Like, we sold so many tickets because of your, like, they were able to tell who was there to see who by the code.
Yep.
So if you put in a code with, like, Hannibal, put in a code for Jessie Mae. And so they were like, you know, they used me as just getting people in the door.
Yeah, well,
but we
that's
super
nice.
Fun.
Yeah.
I'm shocked
that works.
Jubal couldn't move tickets.
Jubal!
Well, you know, Jubal's definitely the most famous person in that area.
Yeah.
He definitely is.
But he's always performing there.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's not going to move
tickets.
It's
not a commodity.
It wasn't special.
Yeah.
They could see Jubal.
Jeff Dye was special.
Yeah.
But not a weed guy. So, when I showed up, I was like,
yeah, you aren't a weed dude at all.
Well, I smoke weed.
But you're not, you don't give me that vibe.
Right. Here's the thing.
You smoke it. Like,
I want to know your obsession with weed. Not obsession,
I'm not
but
obsessed.
Your interest. You love it.
I do love it.
You found quite a community of people.
I do love it because I think the alternative is so much worse. Drinking as much as I smoke weed.
I thought you were saying the alternative not being on drugs.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I love that part. But I mean, like sobriety. because living in New York, the culture is you drink. You don't need to drive anywhere.
That's my
and
style.
Everything's open till 4. And like 4, they're like, whatever, just stay.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no real time limit on
Please
drinking in New York. It's just such a debaucherous city.
Yeah.
That's
and then the transition.
Most about New York is I could just drink all day.
Yeah,
and night.
It's a party. You know, I lived there in my 20s, so I definitely like reaped the whole purpose. But then moving to LA, I don't fuck around with drinking and driving.
Okay.
So I just, the natural progression was drinking less and then smoking more and then just.
Did you smoke then too?
In New York?
Yeah.
Infrequently.
Okay.
But I didn't really enjoy it because I was like, what am I going to sit here and pontificate?
Right.
I want to fucking do shots and scream at strangers.
Yeah, have a good time.
I want to have a good time.
Because I feel like
you're in New York that way.
There is a weed community.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And you're in it.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm in it.
Yeah.
I also like I don't smoke to get high, I smoke to get right. Like I don't like to be zooted out.
Right.
You know?
I don't know a lot of the terms you've been using.
Zoots, you know, like
zoots,
you get
pontificating.
Zoots magoots. That's the only one I know.
I always say zoots magoots. It's like you know,
you got ooh, you got gots, you got ooh gots. You're like, what interview is this? I have no idea.
Zoots is like, you know, zooted out, like you're high, too high. I don't like to get too high.
I hate that.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah, that's
I don't
my
like
least
the paranoia food. Associated with it. I like to like be able to sleep well. I like to be able to be a little more creative.
Yeah.
Maybe. Zone out
a
bit.
Laugh a lot.
Laugh a lot. I don't like to be so high that I'm like.
That's so interesting because I don't do anything. And it's
for,
nothing?
And it's, no, nothing. And it's for that reason, though. Like, I feel like I'm more creative this way.
You can't say you're more creative.
I don't know. How do you know?
I don't know. Exactly. I don't know, but I feel like I don't want to lose the brain function I have.
But I would encourage you. It's always going to come back to the brain function you have. So you should try it, then rule it out. Go, okay. Like, find a safe place.
What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid of anything.
Brain dead?
Not afraid of anything, no.
You are afraid of something because you haven't tried. You haven't tried anything?
No, I'm just...
There's a fear of letting go going on there.
So.
Well, but I'm saying, like, you should go to, like, a safe place and then just go, all right, I'm going to try this so I can rule it out.
Yeah, I think you should rule it out for sure. Because you don't want to be in your deathbed wondering. That's not the time to stick heroin in your dick.
Yeah. No, but I just don't have the I don't have the impulse or the interest, though.
You don't
like,
have...
It's not like something I feel like I'm regretting.
Are you?
Of course not, or else you'd be doing it. But I'm just saying there's a whole other world. Like, 58 million people can't be wrong. You know, like they're all doing something. Yeah. And sure, there doesn't have to be a need.
I'm down with the cause, for sure.
Well, it doesn't have to be like a need. You're like,
I don't want anyone
to
panic for my hand stuck in the mug. Don't do drugs, but my hand's stuck in the mug.
That's your gift for coming on the podcast.
Because sometimes people will say, look at this, she's really stuck in there. This is fantastic.
I'm like, you should totally do shrooms. Wait, can you get my hand out of this?
Should we call the fire department?
There
we
go. Oh, okay.
No, but here's the thing. So sometimes people are like, well, I don't do it. I don't need it. No one needs it.
No one needs it. It's
not
about the need.
You don't need to watch Dumb and Dumber. But we enjoy it. It's a thing and you do it.
That's just a cop-out. We don't need houses. You could live in a tent. You don't need five pairs of sneakers. You could have one.
Yeah.
It's not about the need. I think, like, I love that we're forcing you to do drugs.
No, but also, I don't want him to get addicted and, like, go to a basketball game high. I'm not trying to give him acid and take him
to
Disneyland.
You can't get addicted to weed.
I'm saying go to a safe place around maybe a person or maybe zero people or maybe 10 people that you trust.
Yeah. I gotta be
whatever
scared if I was by myself.
Comfortable doing, and then try like
a little bit
microdose of like a thing, and then you can go, I hate this, and then you don't ever do it again. I get it. This makes me feel a little relaxed. My anxiety's gone. I feel like a little more chill. I wrote a whole script in 2 hours.
It could happen.
That's a thing.
Yeah. It could happen.
Yeah, that's what people do. Generally,
people do that.
Yeah,
do. Have you? What's your astrological sign?
I'm a Taurus.
A Taurus. Yeah. Would you describe yourself as a
Mid-sized sedan.
Yeah. Four-door. For sure.
Are you a neat freak? Meticulous individual?
That's a... Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say yeah.
Control freak, per se?
What about a mental control freak?
Yes.
Like Chris Angel?
Totally
what are you
different.
Talking
yeah.
about?
No, like you're very organized in your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that's what the fear comes in. It's
that's
like, well, I don't want to lose this fear of...
That might
but
be
But the
it.
Irony is...
That might be it.
My speculation is if you do go through with this and do microdose with some shrooms or something. Because, you know,
I wouldn't do shrooms. I just wanted to try some weed.
You want to do weed?
Yeah, or even an alcohol. Like, I'd try
have
like
you
a...
Have never tried weed?
No, I've never had a drink.
You should start
I've never even had a drink.
Yeah, I've never had mushrooms.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine him at his house alone listening to a record and someone pours him just like a little thing of whiskey.
Yeah.
If he's never had it, he's going to go, why am I doing this? And you're going to drink it and go, ugh. But then you go, oh.
Yeah, and then you go, oh, okay. And then you'd have a little bit more and you're just in your
and
underwear.
Then you listen to the record more and you just.
You order grilled cheese at 2 a.m.
I would be a grumpy, anxious mess for some parts of my life if I didn't. Know how to treat it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a little, like have a little
You've
bit.
Seen me grumpy. You've seen me.
I've seen
all
you grumpy.
Yeah. But then I drink and I go, oh, I was being wrong back there. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
love all you guys.
It's like the Snickers commercial, but with alcohol.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you're a little bit of a mess. And then
and
you have
I shouldn't need it, but I also go, I don't want to be a grump around my friends.
But it's not a need. It's just, it's a device that people use.
Yeah.
It's not a need. It's a tool.
Yeah, for me, the Snickers thing is just a Snickers. That's all I need.
You just need a snack.
Yeah.
You just need a snack. You're like, I don't need a bump. I just need a berry.
No, I want
I will say one thing that agitates me. Actually, you sell, what is it? A little weed box? Like
yeah,
a little
stash
thing,
boxes.
Stash box. And then what's inside? There's like a beautiful glass thing.
Yeah, there's stash jars and like grinders. Basically
so cool.
Like accessories for grinding up your herbs.
Yes. It's great. And they're really well made.
They
I don't
nice.
Like merch generally. Yeah, even my own merch, I'm always like embarrassed I'm selling it. Whereas yours looked nice. It looked like well made. Yeah. It looked sturdy. It looked nice. Yeah, it looked like very OCD. I was like,
I'm a little OCD.
This would be how I would keep my weed if I had like a big collection
of
weed.
I'm a very OCD individual. Yeah. But you know, I feel like I felt the way about merch in the past, but when you come with a package, you're leaving money on the table if you don't also bring them a little something they can go home with. People want to go home with a little piece of you.
I just can't imagine my heroes slinging merch. You know, like, imagine Andy Kindler out there.
Heroes?
Like,
are you calling yourself the people's hero?
No, I'm saying I try to do what my heroes do.
Anytime I bring you to the stage, I'm going to call you the people's hero.
The people's hero, Jeff Dye.
Mike Tully is a friend of mine. He's a podcaster and comedian. He calls me the people's champ. I'm calling you the people's hero.
I'll take it. No, but like, man, like, I try to do what my heroes do. Can you imagine Greg Giraldo out there? Like, hey, buy my Greg Giraldo book bag. Like,
he's probably rolling over his grave about the book that's out right now about him. He's probably like, what the fuck?
These motherfuckers.
This isn't comedy.
Robbing my fucking grave. wait, so one thing I will tell you, because I didn't want to sound like I was talking about you. I don't like when people are so obsessed with weed that they need like a marijuana leaf hoodie. Yeah. Like, ooh, I have a marijuana leaf hat. And, yeah. Ooh, my marijuana.
Like they
show.
Stick so.
It's like Vice. It's like, we get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I love whiskey, but you don't see like everything in my house. Like, oh, I got a whiskey shirt. No, I'm doing a podcast where we only drink whiskey.
I did see a framed photo of a whiskey glass in your house when I walked
in the kitchen.
Right, in the kitchen. I will say that. Yeah, so
one little piece. However, there's 75,000 things framed in my house.
You have so many frames. You're keeping the frame store in business.
That is true. And that guy is rich off me. I just saw him today, actually.
Yeah. One guy's framed
everything in my house.
You're very loyal.
Yeah, I like that guy too.
To, you know, what the fuck are those chairs? those are for gaming chairs?
Yeah, gaming video games.
I just noticed them. Like, those things look like, do you do chiropractic work on the side?
We should do a montage of this podcast of how many times people have been in, you know, on course and then they get distracted by some nonsense I have in this room.
There's so much nonsense.
Last week, I was listening to, do you ever listen to your own podcast?
Never. No, I do.
I do. I listen to each episode and see what we could do better, see what moments were good. And there's one with BT Kingsley where if you don't watch it, you'll think it's like he had a mental breakdown or something. Because he's talking, and then he just names a wrestler from the wrestling box.
Oh, you got Papa Shango.
Yeah. Mid-sentence. Oh, you got Papa Shango? And then we didn't go off on that course. Yeah. We stayed what we were already talking about.
There was no yes and.
Then he just keeps talking about the other subject.
Yeah.
Why don't you just talk about Papa Shango? Yeah. That's amazing.
When you have, there's so many in that case. I've never seen a collection like that. You are OCD about like everything. You collect everything. Like you have all the frames, all of these.
Yeah, I love stuff. What else are we gonna spend our money on?
I know. What's your favorite thing to spend money on?
My friends. I like buying stuff for people.
Is that true?
Yeah, he takes care of me.
Food, coffee, anything. Anytime I think of somebody, I got a good one. This week is one of my. I'm so excited. I bought it for this guy weeks ago, but he lives in Cleveland, and I'm not going to see him. I only see him like two times a year.
Yeah,
he's this really great guy. His name's John Brutton, comedian. Shout out! I'll already have given him this gift by the time this airs. So I'm going to Cleveland this weekend. Hey, get your tickets. Hilarities.
Hilarities.
But the guy's name's John Brutton. He told me that his great uncle played in the Negro Leagues. Major League Baseball. And so he grew up just like being always taken to baseball games and stuff like that. I found his dad's rookie card from the Negro Leagues, slabbed in like a PSA case. Cost me a little bit of a scratch, but I bought it and I haven't told him anything. I'm so excited. Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
He is going to cry.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
That's wild. That's really thoughtful.
Yeah.
You should be like, that should be your job to like find people thoughtful gifts for
other
people.
I try to find little things.
Where's my fucking gift?
Well, hey, speaking of that, someone gave you a gift that you posted on Instagram that made you cry, like a great little artwork of your dad.
I love
that video.
This guy, Scott, he booked me for a show in Peru, Indiana.
Didn't know there was a Peru.
I know. Indiana. Peru, Indiana. Very exotic. You should go there for your honeymoon.
I've always wanted to meet the Peruvians.
Yeah, they're great people.
They
really are great people. It was a really fun show. And then he presented me with this
such a
etched
nice
wood of my... The first time I ever did stand-up comedy.
I'm honored.
That photo is from.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I'm honored that I can get to say that I got to hang out with your dad.
You did. And we were in Florida.
He was amazing. And very funny.
He was
and
just an amazing dude. Yeah.
I've met a lot of old people. I've never met a guy his age that rolls with it.
Oh, he just rolls
with
it.
He's fine with whatever. Yep. You want to joke about whatever, he's there for you. Yep. He's got you. Like,
He just goes tit for tat. Yeah, yeah, he's really good.
You want to talk about farts? You want to talk about gays? Whatever.
Yes,
you want.
He really could. He was almost like a Trivial Pursuit, like encased as a human. He could talk about every little subject.
Yeah, and very playful, and he loved you to death, which was it was
literally
fun to watch.
Because he died.
Yes, till death. But it was fun to watch that dynamic too. I'm like real obsessed with like parent kid relationships. We talked about it briefly on the Josh Wolf episode.
It is interesting.
I like to sit back and kind of see what people's dynamics are with their parents, and it was really nice. It was fun to be a part
of.
What
is yours? Did you have awkward upbringing?
Nope. I mean, my parents were they always working and stuff. I feel like my parents are like these aliens. I feel like I've talked about it before.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever talked about
it
on here before.
You've talked about it with me.
I've never met people who are just like, oh, we have no interests, we have no friends, we don't hang out with the family. I'm like, what?
What do you do?
A way to live. And so that's why I'm obsessed with everything.
Yeah.
I don't just watch wrestling. I go to wrestling. I meet wrestlers. I talk wrestling. Yeah. I'm upset. I get the toys. Oh, do you like comedy? I go to comedy. I'm a comedian. I'm like, so like, I kind of just get carried away with everything the way they got carried away about nothing. I want to be like doing everything.
That's
and they
interesting
want to be
that
doing
they had
nothing.
No interest.
It's weird.
Really? Nothing?
Not really.
Each other?
I suppose.
They're still together.
They're still together.
I mean, that's a long marriage.
Yeah.
That's like, what, 40 years?
Well, like, what did your parents do? Like, when they got home from work, what they like to do?
Just yell at each other.
Really? But did they did your mom cook?
Yeah, a little
she
bit.
She liked cooking and interesting cooking.
Yeah. My dad would read
the paper.
My
mom didn't cook.
No.
And neither did my dad. Okay, so how about this? Did they do any drugs?
No, unfortunately, they probably should have. Wine.
Did they drink?
Wine.
Oh, they drank wine.
Yeah.
There you go. My parents didn't do any drugs. Did they have like friends you would know? Like they would come over to the house. You'd be like, oh, that's
we'd go to houses. We'd have people over for dinner.
My mom's friend Donna, you know? My parents, nobody. Not the neighbors, not anybody out of state. Like no friends.
That's bizarre.
Bizarre. They would literally work and then they would come home and they just wanted to kind of like watch TV and stuff.
Do they work at the mortuary? Maybe it sucked the life out of them.
You'd think so.
What did they do for work?
Nothing they were even passionate about. My mom worked in a bunch of different little things, like doing billing for like a medical office. Then she worked at corporate Costco and memberships. My dad worked at like a parts department. Now he cleans pools. Even the work they do, they weren't very passionate.
What about what they like to eat? Do they like to eat good stuff?
No.
What, toast?
They would be very boring. It would be like stuff that anyone could make, like rice-a-roni or like, you know, like some sort of like hamburger helper. And then when they were really splurging, this, I guess, an interest.
My mind is blown.
They would go to a place, like a pizza place, right? And we would think it's a real treat because we didn't have a lot of money. We'd be like, we're going out to eat pizza. They would be obsessed with this place called Papa Murphy's where you get the pizza from them. Take it home and cook it yourself.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Rude.
We're doing the work.
Rude. I'm spending not only my like coming out, I'm spending like going out to eat money. That's like if I'm cooking the food, that's so you're a grocery store?
Yeah, they have exactly. They had no like ovens or anything. I was like, this is so
weird.
Yeah.
That's my new thing. I just call everyone rude now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Rude. A good point. B, rude.
Self check. I have to check out my own groceries. Rude.
Rude. Rude. No one's there. Rude.
I love stuff like that. Like the one that I'm on right now is just like, grow up. Like even when it's not something that like warrants that response.
Right.
Just like, grow up.
Just
like
to
in
a
the
kid's
little
face.
Dickie video when he tells the little kids to grow up.
That's great.
He's like, we have an environmental crisis. Grow up.
Yeah.
They're like five.
Yeah.
Or not like, five. They're like 10 probably.
We've got some time to do that. I love Lil Dicky.
Me too.
He's brought some fun back to rap.
Yeah.
He really has.
Every time I've watched a Lil Dicky thing, shout out to him, watch the Earth video. It's fantastic. And then
I haven't
watches,
seen that yet.
Oh,
I got to watch it.
Watch Freaky Friday. Great video with Chris Brown.
So good.
And then there's the Pangea one, which most people
pillow
like.
Pillow Talking, yeah.
Yeah, Pillow Talk. So I've seen those three. I think you sent them to me. Mm-hmm. Or you sent me one, and then I watched
Rabbit
the
hole,
Pillow
yeah.
Talk.
Yeah, you went down
the and then, but anyways. Now, this last couple of weeks, I'm starting to like dive in. I didn't realize how phenomenal he is.
Yeah, because we listened to a bunch of it. We listened to a bunch of his album, his like last album on the trip we went to. So.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
He's really talented.
Yeah,
is he? He's on Snoop's label, isn't he? Who is he working
he
with?
He has to be.
I think he is.
Because there was a music video about him wanting to get into rap, but he has to go through Snoop to get into rap.
Yes.
That's so funny. Maybe that's kind of the same thing. Maybe that's how he was able to make it.
Is that the same video where he asks the woman to use her mansion to make the video?
That's a different one, but that one's amazing.
That one's so good.
That one's great.
They did a whole documentary. Concept. They did a whole documentary about that.
Yeah. Oh, a short one, yeah.
Well, short one, but like they filmed their day and like how they made that video happen, which is crazy.
That's wild.
I like the club owner is like, if you haven't seen it, it's with Fetty Wap and it's, what's it called?
Save that money.
But the whole premise is that they're trying to shoot a whole rap video bragging about how much money they have without spending any money. But there's one part where they go to this nightclub in Los Angeles and they're like, hey, man, you know, it's going to get tons of hits. We put your name like at the bottom so they'll know what club we were in. The guy's like, hey, no interest, man. He's like, dude, I have like millions of hits. The guy's like, I've never heard of you. Like, we're sorry, we don't. But I love that he's like trying to show him, like, look at my videos. And like, how many?
The guy told him, he's like, yeah, well, I mean, if you pay like $350 for bottle service, then you can do it. It's like, you're telling me that millions of hits isn't worth more than $350? Yeah. And then they eventually let him in. But
the guy looked like a chump.
Yeah. $350?
Yeah, it's like,
sir,
do you know how much that's worth in ads?
The value of money?
I kind of get how the guy that works there would be like, dude, no. Because like, how many times you get some loser?
How many times people come up to you?
But once he starts showing him the videos, I'd be like,
come on in.
Did you see what he tried to do too? Like, he was out because it's on the Hollywood Boulevard and like people came out like, oh my God, are you Lil Dicky? He's like, this is perfect that you recognize me. All right, I'm going to walk up to this guy. You got to walk by and then recognize me in front of this guy. Hilarious.
I love that.
Yeah, he's fun. I like
Wait,
that.
So this is my, I was going to ask you this first, but now we've launched into all these
Tell
other
me.
Things. How did you, were you doing stand-up before Girl Code?
Yes.
How long?
Girl Code was, what year was Girl Code?
Like 2000.
Eight?
I don't Nine. Know. Way after that.
Yeah.
What year is it?
Like 2014, 2015?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. So I have been doing stand-up for six years?
Okay.
Almost. So I think I started in like 2000.
They found you from that?
I did philosophy. Gareth Reynolds and Evan Mann's.
How'd they book you for that?
I think they just found me through stand-up.
Really?
Yeah, through stand-up. Perfect. Yep.
Yeah, because I always wonder how, like, I started in Seattle and then didn't get on TV till like Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
But then that's what got me all my other TV shit.
Yep.
Is that they were like, oh, we found he's on Last Comic. Now he's moving to LA.
Yeah.
This is how it happens. So I'm always curious for you, like, because MTV tried to like lock you down. They tried to make you the face of MTV.
Deals.
Which is the best decision you ever made was
I was just like, no way. I'm left in the middle of Girl Code. To come to do E, I had like an overall deal with E to do a whole bunch of like developmental stuff with them, like pilots and stuff. And that was the year Chelsea went on. Remember, she went on Howard Stern and was talking crap about E and the network and her show, subsequently leaving. And then Joan passed. And then one of the executives got fired. So that whole year where I was like in this incubation process of creating content for them, everything
They're
got
panicking.
Shelved.
Yeah.
They were just plugging holes. So it was just the timing was terrible, but it was also I learned a lifetime's amount of stuff in a year for a career, I think. Just learning how to like handle all that failure and have your hopes up.
Or just like being teased is what it feels like.
Oh, that's what this industry, this career is always a cock tease.
Yeah.
And you're just on the brink of coming.
It always feels like you're always in the moment before.
Yeah.
Like,
just right
this thing's about to happen.
Yeah. And then you're just kind of waiting for it. Pop-up ad comes and you lose your zest.
Yeah. Well, I was on a show. I did a show with
No, don't show the guy's face.
I did a show with Ashton Kutcher called Numb Nuts. And it was during the time of like Jackass, the Dudeson, CKY, all sorts of stuff. But that's why they were calling it Numb Nuts, because they were like, these guys will be the Numb Nuts. These guys are the Jackasses. Right. These guys are the Dudesons. You know, it's kind of a thing. And then literally, this sounds so crazy, but this is how they discussed it on set. They're like, have you seen the show? It's like they're making fun of these people, but it's a documentary. But they're like these Guido-y kind of like Jersey people. And during one of the shoots, a chick she was being so annoying to a dude that he punched her in the face. You got to check it out. Everyone's talking about it. So my executives, and we're like, why are you guys happy that this girl got punched in the face?
It's terrible.
They're like, dude, it's hilarious. But she was totally asking for it. Like, that's how the network's talking about
it. She was totally asking for it.
So the network's bragging about all this different stuff. I don't think it's going to affect my career. We just start shooting. We're like, it's me, Jason Goldberg. Is that his name? I remember. He's like the head of, he like, created Punk'd. I remember it was Jason Goldstein, Jason Goldberg.
That does sound familiar.
It's gotta be a Gold
part is right.
He was kind of a jerk to me, to be honest. He was a jerk to everyone. He's married to Punky Brewster.
He's Soleil Moon Frye?
Yeah, he's married
to her. Like,
she's gorgeous.
What kind of acid were her parents on?
Oof, I love Soleil Moon
Frye. She is gorgeous.
But so anyways, it was me, him, and then Ashton Kutcher was all like via email because he's like an A-list celebrity. So the show's in production. And then like the next day, or not the next day, probably a few days later, we get all this like thing being like, hey, this is the new show. It's called Jersey Shore. Like ratings went through the roof when Snooki got punched. You know,
it was Jersey Shore.
Yeah, they're like, we're scrapping all dude stuff. Forget Jackass. Forget Wild Boys. Forget Numb Nuts. Put it all on a shelf. We need girl programming. We had no idea. Like all the girls are watching Jersey Shore. So they picked up 15 and Pregnant. Picked up Teen Mom. Picked
16
up
and Pregnant. Whatever 15 it is. And Pregnant.
Isn't that what it is?
It might as well have been.
Yeah,
it's all these girls. We're picking up 13 and a half, just got her period and is pregnant.
12 and Pregnant.
12 and Pregnant. Mormons.
Hey, have we talked about that on here? What? The youngest girl to ever get pregnant?
How old?
We had to have talked about
it. I think so.
In America?
Yeah, well, I don't
know. I think we talked about it a long time
ago. Oh, man. It's one of my favorite games
Nick
to play
Greco,
with
that's
someone.
That's what we talked about.
It's one of my favorite games to play with people. I've done this 1,000 times.
Okay.
It's only backfired once.
All right.
Because one time people were like, why are you interested in this? And I was like, I don't know.
Because it's a cool fact.
I thought we would all be interested in
this. Yeah. I Googled the oldest woman to give birth today. So
really?
I'll come back
so
at
the
you.
What is the youngest age you believe a woman got pregnant and had a healthy baby?
Eight.
Or had a baby?
Eight.
Okay. Your guess is eight? You're way off, by the way.
Oh, God. I'm going to have a panic attack.
Yeah, and she's still alive to this day.
No. I don't want to know.
Although the baby only lived to be like 40 years old.
Oh, no.
Ready? I'm going to find
it. Why did the baby die? Oh, God. Mother Nature's a cunt.
It was like, yeah, so like 40-something years old. Something. He had some complications, but it wasn't a birth defect. Wasn't.
You have to Google this? You don't have it just memorized?
It's been like a year. I don't want to say...
You don't have this number, just it's only one digit. How do you not memorize it?
That's true. Because I like to play with the things like, well, that means she got pregnant at this age, you know, because you try to do that.
It's younger than eight. Oh, God. Oh, no, no.
Oh, it's, yeah,
no,
it's younger than eight.
No.
She was 5 years old.
Ah! I'm sorry. Oh, no.
She was 5 years old, 7 months and 21 days, which means she got pregnant at 4 years.
No.
9 months.
That's not possible.
Yeah.
Am I on Numb Nuts?
Yeah, she got pregnant at 4 and 9 months.
Can I see?
Yeah. And actually, I'll show you some photos of it.
Oh. What
her name's
nationality?
Lena Medina. She's Spanish. Or no, she's Peruvian. Sorry to call back.
From India. Or Indiana.
She's from Peru, Indiana.
Yeah.
Also, like, we're told that's not even a possibility. She's definitely a product of...
Wait,
no one knows the dad.
How can that be possible? Wait, that doesn't make sense. She would have to have gone through...
some sort of menstruation.
Yes.
Evidently, she did.
I mean, that's like a prodigy. Not in the good sense of the term.
You play piano really well.
Yeah, like figuring out chess is one thing. Speaking four languages at 2 years old, but being penetrated by a male...
Oh, yeah. She didn't know that she was... the mom of her baby until she was like 10 years old. They had to tell her, like, you know, that's your baby. That's your son.
How did she breastfeed?
She didn't understand.
Who breastfed the baby?
I don't know.
How many years ago was this?
It was 1933. She's still alive.
What? Where? Get her on the podcast.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Although she has no recollection of having the baby. She has no,
of course
she was
not.
Too young.
Do you remember anything when you were five?
No. Well, and also
thank God. What a nightmare. All you're doing is crying and shitting your pants. I mean, no one wants to
well,
remember
and
that.
They asked her, they're like, you know, who did this? Like, I don't know.
Who
like,
did it?
Yeah, because I mean,
that fucking Netflix documentary.
The dad actually got arrested, obviously, for like molesting his daughter, got released because they're like, well, there's no evidence saying that he did it. In fact, the little girl's not even saying
what
he
mean,
did
it. No evidence. You do a DNA test on the baby.
It was 1933.
That's true. Fuck, are we so lucky?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Talk about just a nightmare being born in that era.
Oh, yeah.
No Twitter. Sincerely. And no DNA test.
Look, this is her.
5 years old.
I wonder how many, you know,
That's her, and then the nurse is holding the baby next to her.
How many anti-Maury Povich moments we would have got in the 30s?
Like, are you sure this is not just like a nightmare?
I'll show you a real
movie. Are you sure this is a Twilight Zone episode?
I'll confirm you this one too. Like, there's a
God,
picture of
I have
her.
Like a, I'm having like an anaphylactic reaction.
I don't like it.
That'll make you really mortified. It's a picture of her pregnant, so you can see her belly, and the baby was totally healthy.
You know what this sounds like? This honestly sounds like some sort of like reverse Kevorkian test. Like
some sort of study.
Some sort of study, like how Kevorkian was like helping people pass on to their next life. This guy was trying to figure out how to make people give life way too soon. Like, did you see that documentary, Three Identical Strangers?
Yeah.
That's what this reminds me of. Doesn't
Tony,
that remind
here's
you of
the
that?
Story. I'll give it to you.
Don't give a spoiler.
No spoilers.
Tony needs to watch it.
I'll watch it.
I have
it,
a glass of whiskey, though. You have to have
I'll
a glass
give you the
of
premise.
Whiskey.
I'll give you what they, I'll give you what they give you in the trailer
okay.
or what they
don't
give you
give
in the
away.
First 10 minutes. I won't.
I think you might enjoy it.
There's a guy. He's 19 years old. His name is David. He's going to college for the first year. He took a year off, and now he's going to go to college.
Smart.
He gets to this university, and while he gets out of his car, he's got his bag. He's never been like a popular kid or anything. He gets out, and all these people start going, hey, and just like waving to him. He's like, oh, friendly place. And another guy's like, hey, what's going on, man? Welcome back. And he's like, that's strange. A woman runs up, kisses him on the mouth. Good to see you. And he's like, what is happening? Is this like the most friendliest hippie commune in the world? Then he gets into the dorms. These people come coming and go, hey, welcome back, Eddie. And he's like, it's David. I'm not Eddie. And they're like, ah, Eddie, you rascal. And then he gets into his room, and a guy comes in who's he sees him, and he goes, oh, my God. He goes, he knew that this guy named Eddie wasn't coming back to college. And now there's a guy standing there that looks exactly like Eddie. And he goes,
you're freaking out yet?
Yeah, he goes, what's your name? And he goes, my name's David. He goes, you have a twin brother. And he goes, what? He goes, when were you born? And he tells him his birthday. He goes, okay. And are you adopted? He goes, yeah. He goes, we're calling this guy. So they call this guy named Eddie. He goes, they put him on the phone. Voice is identical. Like the exact same voice is talking back to him. And he's like, when were you born? Where were you adopted? He goes, I don't know where I was adopted. Ma, where was I adopted? And they said, the agency's this. He goes, that's where I was. So they were separated at birth as twins. So they drive 2 hours.
You're giving too much. You're giving too much.
No, this is in the trailer.
Okay.
The twist in the trailer is this Kevorkian test shit.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. They drive, instead of school, they drive 2 hours to this kid's house and they fall in love with each other. He opens the door and it's like
they knew each
brother.
Other.
Yeah. It's like this connection was like
instantaneous, just inseparable.
Same hair, same build,
same smile, same laugh, same walk.
So this becomes really big news. The college paper writes a whole thing about it. The local paper, then it becomes like a little bigger. Then it gets on the New York Times. Then it's on the thing. And there are all these great photos because everyone wants to pick up this like feel good story.
Don't give it away. Are you
going to? This is also in the trailer.
Freaking out.
Finally,
and I've seen it.
This lady is reading this story, and she's looking at the paper, and it looks exactly like her son.
Oh my God.
She goes home and her friend of a different guy comes and goes, have you read the paper? And she goes, here's my paper. I was about to tell you the exact same information. There's a third guy.
This is why you should smoke weed.
I have a stomachache right now.
Yeah, there's a third guy. And he's like, he calls and says, you know, I was born this day. I was adopted to the same thing. And I look exactly like the two boys that are in
and
this image.
It gets crazy.
Triplets.
You can't tell them anymore. It
that's
gets
all, yeah,
crazier
that's the whole trailer.
From there.
So you try
it
to
gets
figure out.
Is
crazier
this
from
on
there.
Netflix?
Yes.
Oh, I saw it on iTunes.
Oh, it might be. It might be one of the other.
I paid for it because it's just too
apps.
Phenomenal.
Okay.
You should. It is just
triplets separated at birth, adopted
in
a different
story family. About where, when, how, and all of that in the aftermath. You're just.
I told you the feel good part.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a whole
there
other dark side.
There is a wormhole of craziness.
It just makes you realize.
Oh,
human nature is also barbaric as
oh,
it is
yeah,
beautiful
for sure but
I'm terrified.
I agree with what you said about how it was weird but also how sweet that they found each other.
He said I'm terrified.
Yeah, but that's it you gave me all the good stuff.
Tony,
now I'm just gonna go
I
and
just
it's gonna
met
be a nightmare
you,
yeah
but I think your biggest problem is your fear.
Probably.
I think you have a fear of going over to the other side because you're afraid of what you're gonna find.
Maybe.
You should be afraid of like face tattoos and
and
I'm afraid
hand
of that
tattoos.
Too.
Yeah, murderers or something. You know, don't be afraid of
women
the fun
who
stuff.
Trick you into getting them pregnant. You know, professional athlete shit.
Which he's a rapper, so that could back that could
Are
be
you
a thing.
Rapper?
Yeah, a dabble.
Shut up. Do you freestyle?
I mean, I can
drop
but
some bars on
it.
Has he ever dropped any bars on your pod?
No, but I've listened to his music and it's fantastic. He can also sing well. Usually rappers don't sing.
No,
good.
Usually they don't. Except Post Malone.
Yeah.
No.
Also, I will
face
encourage
tattoos.
If you're gonna get into those rap community, you better try a little weed.
You I mean, there's no studio that isn't hotboxed.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I've definitely got a contact high. Like, come on. Like, you know,
I don't know. Come on.
My whole life.
No.
Yeah.
Contact high. I went to Summer Jam
2005 and Ludacris was the headliner and he did Blueberry Yum Yum and he's like, I need everybody to light up right now. And I'm in ninth grade. I'm just like, what's happening?
Freaking out.
Yeah. And I've also been to Dave Matthews concert. So
it's that's my Dave Matthews impression.
Did you like it?
I respect his sustainability.
Yeah.
And I think he's very talented, but the music I don't connect with.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. What's your kind of music? What do you like?
Depends on the mood. It really depends
on
the mood.
What do you listen to most?
Probably like Odessa stuff, but then I also will listen to like Stevie Nicks. Mm. Okay. Sometimes I'll get into like a little Johnny Cash.
Okay.
Dolly Parton if I'm feeling particularly flirty.
What is your family like? I want to know. You're from Syracuse.
They're very sweet.
Syracuse finest.
They're kind. They're very kind people.
Or were they wealthy?
No.
Not wealthy.
Middle class.
Middle class.
Yeah, my dad had three jobs. He did real estate. He did housing inspections for the city. Bartend.
I try to picture you young. I like to do that. Because you're like, the way you talk about your family, the way you're like, the fact that you listen to Stevie Nicks made me go, interesting. This is fascinating.
That's like mom music, but I love it. Stevie Nicks is like, she's literally like a gypsy.
Yeah, just wears scarves all year round.
Yeah, she's weird. Like Lana Del Rey, I feel like, is our generation Stevie Nicks a little bit.
It's a good comparison. Yeah.
She's like, you know, down. For some reason, because...
Like a hipster version.
Yeah, she's like a hipster version. And I kind of feel this way about you. As a comedian, there's this whole stigma that you have to be negative and mad and angry all the time. I'm a happy person.
Right.
I love life. I love my family, my friends, and I'm generally a joyful, you know, happy person. So I don't know. I like down music.
Yeah.
I like low.
I'm like that too. Like the music I listen to is like deep and sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more of like a downbeat, like just sort of chill stuff. But it depends on the... Depends on the mood.
I'm always asking people what kind of music they listen to because I don't, like, I just want to find new music.
Pre-show, female rappers.
Really?
Yeah, before I do comedy, there's a lot of fun, like, really ratchet
top five
female rappers. Now? Right now? Just,
Yeah, let's do the Fuck, Marry, Kill that we did in the car that I screwed up.
Yeah, you never made the third one.
I never gave you a third one, but can you think of a third one since you're better at knowing rap and stuff?
What is it, Fuck, Marry, Kill rappers?
Iggy Azalea, Nicki Minaj, and Cardi B. That'd have been a perfect
Fuck, Marry, Kill?
Fuck, Marry, Kill. Iggy, Nicki Minaj, Cardi B. That's what I should have done.
I'm going to have to say marry Cardi because she's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Fuck Nicki. And I'm sorry, Iggy.
You got to kill Iggy.
You got to go.
Really?
What you about for go. You?
Oh boy,
I'm just way too like hard on those gals that I would just kill them all. Like I couldn't.
You can't. That's not how the game is played.
I know. I feel like I'd have to marry Iggy because I feel like the other two, I'd be like, you're so obnoxious. Like it'd be too much.
The way they talk,
it'd just be too much. Like I'm like, can you turn the energy down a little bit?
But how do you know not behind closed doors that they're different?
I don't.
What if Iggy's wild?
I only know the public
we only
persona.
Know personas. Yeah,
so
we
we're going by personas.
Yeah.
Okay. I have the middle of the business and hold it down. That's my Iggy impression.
Yeah. God, what happened to her?
Black Widow, baby.
I'd have to just marry her. And then, I don't know. It's
Iggy Azalea fans are wildly loyal. I learned that by I made one joke on the internet about Iggy Azalea. And I got just broaded. I don't even know if bots or what, but I got like 100 tweets like an hour.
Really?
I wrote a tweet because a lot of like, verified people were retweeting it. Like, that's very funny.
What did you say?
So since it got that attention from those people, like, it got attention from all the people that don't want you making fun of
you. You got stuck in the river.
Do you know Rachel Dolezal, the girl who identifies as being black?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They did, like, a Netflix documentary about her, and everyone was upset, even though you can identify as whatever you want.
Right, and she also spoke for black people's rights.
And
was involved in the black people community.
She had two adopted black kids.
Yeah,
she had a black boyfriend.
Right,
she
celebrating the community and
grew up in a black culture.
Right.
So she believes she's black because she identifies that way.
Right, great.
Do what you
Live
want.
Live your life. Is she hurting anybody?
That's what I say.
She's an artist. She's a single mom, she's a single mom, but she's a mom of a couple kids.
Do what
Living
you want.
Life.
That's Living what
life.
I say.
Who cares?
So I tweeted when they made a Netflix documentary.
I see where this is going.
Yeah, I said, did you see that new Netflix documentary about the woman who believes she's black? I think it's about Iggy Azalea.
And that's funny.
Yeah,
that's
a
silly
joke.
Parallel.
It's just a stupid joke. Yeah, misdirection.
Yeah.
People lost their minds.
Well, people are very, like, anytime you talk, I made a joke about Beyonce once.
Yeah.
I mean, I feared for my life for about a week. Yeah. I was pretty sure that, you know, a 14-year-old was going to stab me with a Barbie doll on my way to the car or something. Like, yeah, they come out.
People go crazy.
They go crazy. The Beehive? You don't want to mess with the Beehive.
But also, that's stupid. They make it, like, I mean, like, we're joking. It's their jokes.
Our job is a joke, and their job is to be fanatics. So when
also, why are they allowed to not like stuff, but we can't? Like, even, I'm not saying I don't like Iggy Azalea, but I'm allowed to not like Iggy Azalea if I want. I don't have to like her.
Also, who said it best? Help me out. Saturday Night Live. Tina Fey said, just because you decide something isn't, you don't like something, doesn't mean it's empirically not good.
Right.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Right. Exactly.
So just because you're crazy and millions and billions of people are crazy about Lady Gaga, doesn't mean I have to like Lady Gaga.
No, I don't. Guess what? There's a whole bunch of music.
But I also reserve the right to not.
I love Gaga. I'm a fan of Gaga.
I love her to death.
Big fan.
I'm allowed to not.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I also.
And I choose to.
I wouldn't mind being like an Iggy Azalea, like a rapper. I think everyone kind of wants a little bit of that, just like a little bit of that, like, hard edge, being able to rap and like have my nails all done. It's the last free
speech. I used to say comedy was the last free speech. Not true.
Yeah, you're right, because I feel rap like you can get away with a lot more.
You can say whatever you'd like. You can say anything you'd like.
I never even thought, that's a good tweet.
We have to be more careful than ever. It has to be real good. Whereas rap is inherently reckless with
words.
That is
such a good
verbally
point.
Reckless. Yeah, they can do anything they
can
want.
Say anything. I mean, they're woman-shaming, they're white-shaming, they're black-shaming, they're...
Yeah.
I mean, they're
It's racist, it's bigoted.
It's racist, it's bigotry, it really is
it's
all of
misogynistic,
that.
It's violent. It's like very braggy, it's very whatever, and yet, if you say, like, hey, I find that one rap lyric to be really insensitive towards women, they'd be like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, it's protected by a strange
There's like a
energy.
There's just an orb around it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's, you're right, though. Like, rap is definitely sort of
do and say what you want.
Removed from having to defend themselves for what they say.
Yeah. It's very weird.
And it does, I'm wondering, does it do damage to the community?
100%.
To the black community, or to, you know, the music industry? Like, that sort of, I'm looking at you like you're, you know,
I'm not the spokesperson.
He won't step in on anything that's controversial.
I love being controversial. It's fun.
He's not going to.
I just don't have a lot of opinions on it because I don't know.
I just think that's a double standard.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a fascinating world to be in. Like, if it's in a song, or a rap track,
it's,
I don't know
okay.
if you'd call it a song, it's literally free from any question. But when I do a joke, people go, well, I'm going to criticize that or pick it apart, or what is he saying here? Why can't I just say, oh, it was a joke? My only intent was humor.
It'd be interesting to have a show of comedians who have to interject rap lyrics into their sets.
Right.
And to see what sort of happens there.
Maybe say a sentence and then go, oh, that wasn't mine. I was literally quoting so-and-so.
That was Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
I had a theory about this once. I know, I can't believe I'm talking about it on here, but I was going to do a thing where I take a comedian who's maybe not as well-received, like just get some kind of masculine man in comedy, pay him a certain amount to memorize 4 or 5 of Eliza Schlesinger's bits.
I just talked about her
then
too.
Then put him on stage, have him do that exact material, and watch to see if people are triggered or outraged. And then be like, oh, by the way, just so you know, this wasn't my material. I was doing a female comedian's material named Eliza Schlesinger. Because I find it very fascinating that a lot of women in comedy, and I'll name names, I'm not afraid of it, Jamie Lee. Lori Kilmartin, Nikki Glaser, they are, Sarah Schaefer, very triggered by like toxic masculinity, Beth Stelling. However, they are somewhat doing what a douchey guy would do to get laughs and attention.
Maybe.
So they're using the same tools and being toxically masculine in a female's body, and then judging any male who would do that.
That's interesting. I never thought about that, because I don't know, like, I'm friends with Jamie Lee. I don't know her stand up in and out.
Yeah.
I know Beth Stelling. I would consider her a friend, but that is an interesting.
Well, I just watched a show where Beth Stelling jokingly, like, she had a line where she was like, yeah, we're probably going to go fuck about her boyfriend.
Right.
And then the girl's like, yeah. And she goes, she said something about if I don't like masturbate first, and then like made the girl like smell her finger or something. It was in a show.
Right. Did she put her fingers in the girl's face?
Why is that funny?
Where
is it only funny because that's how we believe boys to talk, but now since a girl is talking like that, it's flipped on its head, like ha ha ha. How do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know, I understand what you're saying.
However, if that guy was a if that character was a guy, we would be like, that's such a primitive way to speak and douchey and fratty. But we think it's hilarious when a girl is douchey and fratty.
Where have they voiced their or expressed their disdain for bro-y masculinity?
Usually on Twitter and stuff like that. They usually like are very annoyed.
So it's like the messages are inconsistent, sort of.
Right.
Like their comedy represents one thing, and then what they're saying, it's sort of like a contradictory scenario.
That's what I meant. They're like activists against a certain thing.
I think anything can
However, they're capitalizing on the exact thing they claim that they don't want in the world.
My thing with comedy and everything is anything can be funny if it's coming from your truth. Because if you're speaking it from your truth, there's an emotion tied to that.
Yeah.
And in true emotion is felt. And that's usually when I don't have a good set is because I'm not connected to it emotionally.
Yeah.
So, and I have jokes that are, I don't think they're masculine or like misogynistic, but definitely from a strong point of view that aren't your Seinfeld clean jokes. Mm. But I'm speaking from something that either happened to me or occurred in my life. So I would have a hard time. My thing with Eliza is I think she's figured out how to do stand up. I don't know if she's speaking her truth.
Right.
I think she's figured out how to say things that come across as funny to her fans.
Right.
But who the fuck is she? Who is she?
Right.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You know,
well, what I was going to say, just to be clear about my take, if I'm going to name names, I don't want them to stop doing the comedy they're doing. I want them to stop being so aggressive against other people that do what they do. That's what I'd like. I'd like less tweets about how men are chauvinist, whatever, and then them getting to do chauvinist jokes like on The Tonight Show. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't want them to stop doing what they're doing. I love their art and I love their comedy. I like what they're doing. I don't like the moaning on Twitter about how like, oh, you don't know what it's like. It's like you're doing what we all do.
Have you ever, besides
you're not different
on the podcast, have you ever said anything to them to their face?
I would if they would. I don't. I've never.
I Nikki would just like to see,
have a strange dynamic.
You know, the opportunity to see both those things happening at once is obviously hard because it's in different mediums. But
well, like Nikki,
if that's what's happening, I agree with the inconsistency because I feel the same way about any comedian.
Right.
Where it's like, you know, your message on stage isn't.
Well, Nikki did a thing. I'm trying to remember. It was some sort of panel show. She got this huge applause break because she was like, she liked a celebrity and they asked why. And she goes, oh, just to hear a guy who doesn't have opinions. Oh, thank. Like she was like saying like, I would love a guy that's just that pretty that doesn't talk or something like that. And they got this huge applause break. And it was very funny and made me chuckle too. But the idea of that would is something that we scorn men for saying.
But you know what's hard? I get what you're saying. I think we're in a hard place right now because we're in a transitional time where women are finding their place in this, you know, traditionally dominated, male-dominated industry.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, you know, like look at it as what it's been like through history, it's been men. And then even still, like as a chick, I go on shows and I'm the only chick still.
Yeah, but I've talked about this a billion times. There's less women trying to be funny.
There are less women trying
to be funny.
There's Lucille
Ball, there's Carol Burnett, there's Meredith. Well, there's a long history of women who tried to be funny, were funny, succeeded at being funny, had phenomenal careers at being funny. There's a place for it. In fact, if you ask Richard Barrett at the Comedy Magic Club, Jamie Masada at the Laugh Factory, Adam Egit at the Comedy Store, they need more women.
Yep.
Women who aren't even good are getting sets because they want more women.
Yeah.
I am tired of the, it's so hard for us. It isn't.
But some women...
It's like me being
some
like,
women
why
don't
aren't
know
there
how
more
to...
men babysitters? It's a female-dominated... A lot of guys don't want to be babysitters.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm saying from their perspective where, you know, they haven't figured out how to sort of navigate in, and I'm not saying they, like the comedians that we're talking about, just women in general,
yeah.
who haven't figured out how to navigate in the
they
landscape
just don't
without
do
bitching or without using like the, what can't, what, you know.
What am I supposed to?
Right, like just without victimizing themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I feel like I've never, like whenever anyone's asked me like, what's it like to be a female comedian? I've never considered that.
Right.
I've never really considered, oh, I'm a female, it's harder. Because I always thought that. Like, for me, it's like, well, there's less people on the lineup. And me saying, like, I'm the only chick, I say that because it's like, oh, I get where women can have that point of view because there hasn't been, you know, when you go to a show, a bunch of females
but
where you're like
powwowing. Look at society.
Well, that's, so, that's like, what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, in your school, how many guys were trying to be funny?
Every single one.
All of them. How many girls were trying to be funny? Not as many. There was probably a few funny girls trying to be funny.
Right.
And a lot of them valued other things. They were trying to get good grades, or they were trying to be the most pretty, or they were trying to be the most fashionable. That's what they valued.
Yeah.
Humor is a thing that dudes try to be. So like 500 guys moved to LA just now. And they all think they're going to be the next Chris D'Elia.
They're actually outside. I told them they could podcast.
Yes. Four chicks moved to LA today thinking they're going to be stand-up comedians. It's just men try to be funny. And girls, there's a lot of very funny women. But for the most part, if you ask like a lot of girls, like, I've never wanted to be a comedian.
Yeah.
Whereas like in the back, any dude that comes to my show is always like, I've always wanted to get up there. Because they want the attention and they want the thing. And plus, there's this delusion in men that we're all hilarious. Whereas
but that's,
girls
but that,
don't
you saying
grow
that,
up learning. They don't grow up wanting to be.
But you
that.
Just said there's men think they're all hilarious.
Yeah.
That's also, as a woman who's been in this industry for a while, and also I'm on the other side where I don't like to victimize myself. I see the benefit in being a woman. But because there literally has been so many men who are the gatekeepers of a lot of situations, and they think men, you know, they have to break that mentality of, men are funny. Women
are
funny.
But there are these gatekeepers giving spots to women
now,
they know aren't funny because they just need some sort of woman.
Right. And I get that. But like, I'm just playing the devil's advocate where I understand the point of view. I think the execution is the issue because
I think the bigger problem is not that these men aren't giving opportunities to the girls. I think the big problem is that they're trying to fuck these girls. That's the problem.
Yeah. And there's
all
also
the bookers
girls who
are
fuck
like,
the men.
Ooh.
I've seen in my, look,
it's hard to be friends with a talented, attractive woman and not try to hook up with them as a guy.
But I've also seen women use their body to get ahead.
Right.
And my issue is like where women are yelling and screaming about what's being done to them, but they also are doing what's being done to them.
So it makes it complex.
It's a very difficult situation. And I think it's...
they'll do it. They'll get the thing and then say, I shouldn't have had to do that. Well, you didn't have to do that.
And also, this subject can permeate any issue that's going on in society.
Right.
I really believe because
more
essentially
so in this city,
more so
and
in this
New
city
York.
For sure. But like, it comes down to opportunity, I think, and it comes down to your ideology about yourself. Are you a victim or are you a survivor?
Right.
Because if you're a victim,
a victor.
Yeah. Thank you. If you're a victim, you're never going to have opportunities.
Sure.
But if you're a survivor, you're going to create your own opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, and I think it comes down to that, like instead of bitching about being a woman and not getting opportunities because of it, instead of bitching about the opportunities you didn't get, you should be creating ones for yourself.
James Dean sucked a guy's dick to get a movie role.
Good for him.
Right. And now.
Is that fact?
Yes.
Is that a movie fact? Is that an IMDb?
There's a lot of things on there about it. Here's the thing. What if James Dean years later was like, I shouldn't have had to do that?
No.
Yes,
but
he shouldn't have had
nobody
to.
Nobody forced you.
Well, maybe. We don't know the scenario. He might have felt pressured to do it or whatever. But here's the thing.
Who's
like,
dick? Do we know who's
there's
dick?
There's just some famous director back in the day. Some guy. But
where's that porno?
James Dean. That'd have been good. That'd been a good one. But so, I mean, I don't know. It's very complex.
It is very complex because there's a lot of different layers and you're dealing with individuals and then you're dealing with genders and then you're dealing with creatives.
Yeah.
But the core issue is, are you a victim or a survivor?
Yeah. Yes.
So, I get both sides of the story.
Victim or victor.
I get both sides of the story, but I've been through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of crazy things happen to me and I learn from it. I feel the pain and I grow that scar tissue and then I move on.
Right. I agree.
Some women, men get stuck in these places where, oh, I can't do it because of this. And
it's become a
it's,
cause.
It's, and it's also not only that, yeah. it is a cause. It's the thing that holds them back so they don't have to do anymore.
Right. When also, I feel like even when I'm agreeing with them, I'm agitated. Even while being an ally, I'm like this again.
Yeah.
Like it just feels like how many times am I going to hear this? Like, and this thing is like, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's hard. Imagine being a guy in this business. There's a billion of me.
Now you're fucked.
I'm so replaceable.
Now you're screwed. You know?
And now I watch girls who are getting things because there's not a lot of women. They should be happy there's less women in comedy.
I know.
In fact, celebrate that this business has not had a lot of women in it and you get to be one of them.
Well, that's in the whole route, the way we're going about it is a lot. Yeah.
I walk into these auditions, there's 75 of me.
Yep.
When you go in, they go, I'd like a woman's perspective on this. And she's very funny and she's doing all these different things. And so while you're saying, we need more. Well, I love that that's what you want. You think you want that. You're full of shit.
I know. Do you want to go on a show? I know that is.
Oh, you know what? You know, yeah,
we need shows all women.
More women. Let's get more.
That's uneven. Like. Just let's just start to like really we'll even the playing field and you know funny is funny but we don't need to have all dudes on one show and all women on another and safe spaces and all these
it's nonsense
it's not what's going on is
space,
pure nonsense
see a therapist that's
stay
your
home.
Safe space
stay home in your bed yep. There's your safe space get your snacks stay home
ask
in bed.
Ronda Rousey what happens when you encourage all the women to join your industry you get kicked in the fucking face and you become the 900th best woman
yep.
in Ultimate Fight.
Yep, because it's filled.
Because women in Japan were going, I could beat the shit out of this lady. But yep. Ronda Rousey was the best out of eight. There was like eight women in UFC, and she was the best in eight. And so then when thousands of women are like, I could do that. I've been a kickboxer over here for this long, and I did this. And then watch how fast Ronda Rousey had to go to fake fighting in WWF. And
did she?
Yeah, she became a pro wrestler.
She's a pro wrestler?
Yeah, she's the champ. Now she's already, you've missed a window. She's been there for
she's
what,
gone
a year?
Now, though.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You missed the whole window.
Yeah, she was there for a year. Yeah.
She was there for a year. Now she's going to have babies with her husband. But here's the thing.
That's fun.
But how fast did that happen? Because she goes, oh, I encouraged all these ladies to come
but
over and then I break
what it
my
takes.
Nose.
It, you know, from our perspective in our time, in our lifetime, we see it and it's so imbalanced. Like, when people look back in the future, they're going to be like, oh, what were they fucking arguing about?
Right.
Like, because it'll be balanced at that point.
But
with
I don't
women
think it'll ever
men.
Be
then
equalized.
Be some other, well, it'll never be equalized. And then there'll always be something else that people want more of.
Well, but my imagine problem when, like, is that if it's never equalized, it will continue with the complaining. They'll still be like, no women on this show. Yes. He probably has 30 contacts in his
but
phone.
But just as equally, they'll always be dudes that are like perverts and scum that right. say shit to women. Oh, you know, there'll always be both sides of that. Women complaining and dudes using their power to take advantage.
I'm not saying men are innocent of anything. They're guilty of almost every...
I don't think you are.
Yeah. But I think that what's happening is... like, so they did this thing where the Forbes list, it was like the 10 top highest paid... male comedians, and it was like Gabriel Iglesias, it was Chris
Hart,
Rock, Jerry
Seinfeld
all things. And all
Chappelle.
These women lost their mind on Twitter, at least the girls I follow, saying like, oh, how come it's no female comedians? Well, they're just measuring
the top 10 men?
Ticket sales. No, it's just top 10 comedians, and
oh,
it wasn't
comedians.
A single woman. It wasn't Amy Schumer.
Well,
there
then
was
they
no,
should be the, here's where okay can I tell
why
you
why aren't people going to see female comedians then? Because this is just based on the numbers. It's not what they get paid. They get paid on what they bring in.
Can I tell you how that makes me feel?
Yeah.
Like a list like that?
Yeah.
Encouraged.
Sure.
That makes me like, oh, dope. I could be the first one.
Right.
There's no women on that list right. yet? I got some work to do.
But also like Ellen or something like that, like would probably be on that list if she toured every
right.
weekend.
Yeah, she's
like
not
Gabriel
a touring
Iglesias.
Comedian. Yeah, those guys are
or
on the road.
Like, so those numbers are all going to have a lot of like statistical data that isn't being put right on the front
right.
page there.
Yeah.
So like, and also, women are part of the ticket sales for Jerry Seinfeld and Gabriel Iglesias. Like there's women that go to see those mm-hmm. comedians also.
Yeah.
It's not like we're like, let's only give our money to Gabriel Iglesias. No, you say, I'm going to go see who's funny and who I like.
Right. You're also included in on making those, making those, the numbers
such
on that list.
It's a strange thing though.
Well, it's, you know, it's going to take a while for everything to get balanced. And even then it won't be balanced ever. But you know, there's two sides to the way the scenario plays out. And there's the victimized woman and the strong woman. And there's the same with men.
I believe men need to be better humans.
The victors.
Men need to get better at being human beings. Men have it's like a call to action to stop being scumbags, grow up, stop being pieces of shit. That's what men need to do. And women are doing great. All you need to do is stop crying. Stop the complaining.
I think like the issue can sort of be encapsulated in a moment for me that I had where I was doing a show and I was talking about rape jokes and I was in like Detroit or something. And these girls came up to me and she asked if she could tell me why those jokes weren't funny.
Were or weren't?
Weren't. And she proceeded to tell me they weren't funny because it's not funny to talk about something that happens to women that's so serious and you can't make fun of a topic like that that's so serious. I said, well, A, I was raped.
Okay.
B, this is how I dealt with it.
Yep.
Humor. And C, I've healed from it. So it no longer triggers me.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, are you a rape victim? And she said, yes. And I said, well, I would recommend going to some therapy because you're triggered.
Yeah, by hearing it.
You're triggered by hearing it. And anytime there's like a heckle or something, that's been the consistent cause of why they heckled. Because they hear something and they're triggered.
Yeah. This isn't my idea, but I've quoted it a billion times. Ricky Gervais says, if laughter is the best medicine, it means medicine. When do you take medicine? For when you're sick or there's a hurt. So laughter is supposed to be the medicine for the hurt. Mm-hmm. That's why people aren't making jokes about balloons. We have to make jokes about serious things so that there's medicine for it.
Yes.
So it's the reason a rape joke can be healthy is because it's medicine for, like, you're able to take the gravity out of it. Like, this is helping me. You know what? I should laugh at this. I should be able to, you know, it's not making the rape worse. It's not taking my rape away. It's just saying, oh, this is like a medicine for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why jokes should be about serious things.
They should be about serious things. Yeah.
You break down every joke, there is something there.
The core of it is serious.
Alcoholism or like you resenting your parents.
Pedophilia, alcoholism, rape, death.
We joke about all of those.
All of that.
I'll do 20 minutes about a homeless guy. This is a hypothetical, but like I could do 20 minutes about a homeless guy and everyone's like, ha, ah. And then the second I say rape, they're like, that's wrong.
The dude who's on the street,
it's okay to make fun of him.
Because in LA, people care more about stray cats than they do stray vets.
Right.
Absolutely. It's so inconsistent.
We'll laugh at this.
Yeah.
But this one, I've
compartmentalizing.
It's about me.
So
I've
self-righteous.
Went through this.
A lot
like,
of people are so self-righteous. Have you seen Ricky Gervais's new show, Afterlife?
I'm like, yeah, I watched it in one sitting.
Me too.
Yeah, it's so good.
So good. Talk about making light of a dark subject.
I'll watch anything with him.
He's suicidal every episode. Yeah. He's really funny. He's good. Yeah, he's suicidal.
Every episode, he's like wants to take his life.
It's so good. I was like, damn, this is like such clean, perfect
writing.
I'm
not going to botch it, but he said, when am I allowed to make a rape joke? And the girl goes, you can make rape jokes when you know that nobody in that comedy club has ever been raped. And he goes, has never experienced that firsthand. He goes, well, that'd be a strange sign to put on the door, wouldn't it? We're doing a comedy show downstairs. You can't come in if you've been raped. He goes, I don't know if I want to make that. That seems unfair.
Maybe I need to start putting that up in my comedy
show. Yeah, it was just such a saying. You know, I don't think I should do that. It seems pretty discriminative
material.
To not.
Yeah. If you consented and it didn't work. Do you remember that rap song, My Dick?
No.
By Mickey.
Mickey Avalon.
Mickey Avalon. My Dick, Rumble in the Jungle.
That was Lil Dicky, is what I used to think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's very similar. He's like this white rapper.
But it's kinda, like goofy. Yeah. It's just a song about his dick and how it's greater than yours. It's a great rap song.
My dick speaks Spanish. You're like, what?
You're like, why? Poor K.
How?
Does it order
my
food
dick
for
doesn't
you?
Even know English. It has no second language or first language.
Your dick probably speaks the king's English.
My dick knows cursive.
Whoa.
Yeah,
impressive.
Which is
does it happen when you pee in the snow?
Yes. Okay. I do like calligraphy.
And it's pointless. Why did we even learn cursive? Nobody uses it.
No one uses it.
Yeah. Well,
you just wait when everything fails.
My dick can hear you right now.
Don't be rude.
Really,
rude. Sorry, rude. Ain't rude. Be a good
rude.
Point.
Rude.
Grow up.
Rude.
Grow up. I love you. Thank you for being here. You're my favorite person.
You're going to have something stolen by the time I leave.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Just, you know, think of it as a gift.
It is a gift. I'm going to steal one of your bikes.
No.
No?
I love those.
Okay.
friendship.
Just like that. 56. Week 56 in the books. Thank you, Jesse May, for showing up. And we've had some podcast guests just not show up. So thank you. We love you. You're the best. You're very funny. Go see Jesse May. Go to jessemay.com. You can buy her weed box or go get tickets for any of her upcoming shows. This week, I will be at Hilarities in Cleveland. I've said it a few times on this podcast, but get your tickets quick. Wednesday through Saturday at in Cleveland at Hilarities Comedy Club. Yeah. Thanks for watching. Thanks for reviewing and rating and subscribing. Thank you to all the Patreons. I love you with all my mouth, butt, and heart, and brain.